Let's pray. Lord God, as Jesus taught in the synagogue as one with authority, we pray that you might help us to hear and understand your word now and proclaim it and deliver it into our hearts. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Would you like to have a seat, please? It's not so long ago that we celebrated Christmas. The angels, the shepherds, the baby Jesus lying in a manger. In this particular cycle of our lectionary readings, we follow the gospel readings mostly from Mark. Well, in the first chapter of Mark, we don't see the baby Jesus, gentle and mild and lying in a manger. Mark doesn't actually begin his account with the nativity at all. Starting from the very beginning of Mark, we see a different perspective of Jesus. We see a 30-year-old man. We see Jesus with authority so striking that people can only stare in amazement. The definition of authority is the power or right to command. Jesus' authority lay not in his credentials or in his earned degrees. He didn't hold any prestigious positions. Rather, Jesus' authority lies in who he is as the divine Son of God. The passage for today's gospel reading is set at the synagogue in Capernaum, and it shows Jesus has not only power to command as a teacher, but Jesus also has power to command an evil spirit that can do nothing but acknowledge who he is and obey his lordship, his authority, and his instructions. They went to Capernaum, we're told, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. You can find lots of references in the scriptures to Jesus as a teacher. Jesus is the master teacher. The title rabbi means teacher. And here, the people were amazed at Jesus' teaching as one with authority. Jesus walked into the synagogue in Capernaum. The synagogue service, wherever it happened to be, the synagogue service generally consisted of prayers, blessings, readings of the scriptures, and a sermon or an exposition. There were opportunities for various people to offer to teach, and in fact, it would be quite customary to invite a visitor to come up and to give us a word of teaching or exhortation or encouragement. When Jesus taught, though, the participants noticed that there was a striking difference to the norm. It says, he taught as one who had authority, not as the scribes and the teachers of the law. So how did the scribes teach? Were they unsure of themselves? No, the scribes were also confident and practiced teachers. They often taught with self-confidence and arrogance and brashness. They were dogmatic and intolerant. Their authority tended to come from other teachers. The scribes would often quote their own favourite rabbis for their source of authority. It was a kind of a name-dropping exercise. They would use prestigious names of their famous teachers to establish the authority of what they were wanting to say. If they were speaking about Isaiah 61, verse 1, for instance, they might say something like, "According to Rabbi Hillel, this passage was originally given to give comfort to exiles. Rabbi Shimael says that this means you must take comfort in your situation." And then they might go on to quote Isaiah 61, which says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." The scribes were like that preacher who once told his congregation that he learned very early on in his ministry not to use name-dropping to make a point credible, and then went on to say that it was Billy Graham who told him to do that. Well, Jesus did not quote the big name people. When he quoted this passage from Isaiah 61 in the synagogue one day, he simply said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," as we read the story in Luke's gospel. Jesus was endorsed by God. His interpretation of the passage was unique. His authority came from his own divine insight. Jesus was different to the scribes. Jesus taught with God-given authority. The people recognised that authority, and the religious leaders must simply have stood amazed with their mouths gaping wide at how Jesus taught. Well, if that was not enough to astound the Capernaum synagogue that had known nothing but the hypocritical empty religion, then what came next would really rock their world. Jesus also had authority over the spiritual realm. In the midst of Jesus' teaching in the synagogue service, something astounding happened. A demon-possessed man made an outburst. Here comes another demonstration of Jesus' authority. The evil spirit cried out, as Dennis so dramatically put it, "What do you want with us, Jesus? Have you come to destroy us?" Just when everyone in the synagogue was shocked at how Jesus taught, a demon cried out and said to Jesus, "We know you are the Holy One of God." This was a dramatic demonstration of Jesus' authority. And then Jesus demonstrated his power to command over the spiritual darkness that kept these demons captive. Satan and his demons are the spiritual forces of darkness. They have a kingdom of evil. But Jesus has come to establish God's kingdom on earth. And when God's kingdom advances, Satan and the demons must retreat. They are doomed to ultimate defeat because Jesus is certain for ultimate victory. Well, we still are involved in spiritual warfare today. In our secular Western culture, where people often claim not to believe in the spiritual realms, the ways of the spiritual realm may be far more subtle and less obvious, but they are just as real. The thing is, we don't need to study these demons in depth, to learn all about them, to find out that this is true. What we need to do is to abide in Christ, who has the spiritual authority over demons. Because Satan and his demons still exist, we must preach Christ crucified. We proclaim the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Where the cause of Christ advances, then spiritual forces of darkness must retreat. When we're involved in making disciples of all nations, then we are on the cutting edge of spiritual warfare. As I said, we don't need to become fascinated by the topic or to focus on these forces of darkness. What we need to do is to know Christ more and more and to make Christ known more and more. When we're advancing the kingdom of Christ, then the kingdom of darkness is retreating. Jesus has the authority, and it is Jesus who overcame that demon. The demon feared him, feared Jesus, crying out, "Have you come to destroy us?" Well, Jesus simply cast out the demon. He shows us his own authority, the power or the right to command over the kingdom of darkness. The power of Christ has put an end for us to need to fear the darkness. The demonic realm is powerful, but Jesus Christ is all-powerful. No wonder the people in the synagogue were amazed. What Jesus said, in effect, was to the demon was, "Put a muzzle on it, evil spirit." The demon had no choice but to leave the man. Jesus had the spiritual authority over the demon, and he still has authority over the demonic realm that holds so many under its spell today. And so we see all of this incident in the context of the kind of empty religion of the time that was all outward show. And that helps us to understand why the people in the synagogue were so amazed. Nothing like this had ever happened in their lifetime. They recognised the God-given authority when they saw it, and they were amazed by it. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and one with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." It's both his teaching and his authority over evil which are the sources of the amazement of the people here. And so we're told news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Can you imagine that congregation at the sleepy synagogue in Capernaum, expecting just another Sabbath of scribes quoting what the big-name rabbis think about various interpretations of Scripture? Instead, they were face-to-face with the living Christ. They had news to tell that spread like wildfire. This authority figure before them was the long-awaited Messiah. This was the one whom all the prophets spoke about and whom all the people were longing for. The new order had arrived. The one with authority is here. No wonder the people were amazed. They had just met Jesus. They were face to face with God's Son. They just met the Messiah. They met someone with authority. It's no surprise that the news spread about Jesus so quickly over the whole region of Galilee, because Jesus had the authority. But when the people stood in amazement at the Capernaum synagogue, did they truly believe in Jesus and commit themselves to Jesus? Not really, no. Jesus would later say about them, the town of Capernaum, "And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depth. If the miracles were performed in you that had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day." Jesus actually renounced the city in which so many miracles had been done and in which this teaching with authority had been proclaimed. Why? Because they didn't actually repent. As we heard from the dean last week, they needed to turn about. They needed to change their mind. They needed to repent of their own way to go Jesus' way. The people of Capernaum spread the news, but they didn't truly believe. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He has the authority to teach, to drive out demons, but also the authority to forgive sins. Jesus died, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. He paid it all. We believe in him, and so we have eternal life. As we read from that well-known verse in John's Gospel, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now, you might not think a great deal about Jesus. Hopefully from today's reading, you might become like the people in the synagogue and be amazed at his authority. But in the end, even that is not enough. You need more. You need to believe in Jesus, to entrust yourself to Jesus, the one with authority and the one who came to save us from our sins.